Last Sunday during dinner, we opened the front door of our house for our kids to yell out into the cold, quiet winter night, "God loves you." The life of being pastor's kids. It wasn't our idea, though. It came from our family's Advent practice for this season. So last year, Augsburg Fortress, the publishing ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, created a deck of cards for families celebrating Advent and Christmas. And each day is a new card with a different prayer or activity or a song to sing or something to do. They sold out this year before I could order more to make available here, so we hope for that in the future. So for now, we're using last year's deck of cards at our house. And so the card for the first Sunday of Advent last weekend talked about the prophets, as we continue to hear today. It says, "Long ago, God called women and men to be prophets and use their outside voices. The prophets told God's people, 'Change your ways,' because they needed reminders to care for others, to be kind, and to resist selfishness. During the Advent season, we remember the prophets who use their loud and loving voices to shout kindness through all the noise." And then it says, "Go outside and shout, 'God loves you.'" So that's what led our kids to, somewhat uncertainly and excitedly, yell, "God loves you," to a quiet and cold winter night. Now, I've heard a couple of people talk here about how they're a little uncomfortable talking about their faith, or they're not so sure about that whole invite a friend or a neighbor to church. So I imagine loudly proclaiming "God loves you" indiscriminately to all who might hear, it's probably not a very common approach to evangelism around here. But it is a story we've heard before, and it's a story we hear today, as it was written in the words of the prophet Isaiah, as it is told in the Gospel according to Luke, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord.'" John the Baptist, this cousin of Jesus, stands out in all these stories, but not only for the way he's sometimes described as appearing or his eating habits, but he's this bold proclaimer who goes before Jesus to prepare the way. He proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He called people to repentance, to turn around, change their ways, preparing the way of the Lord. Change your ways. God loves you. What a bold, startling message to hear during this quiet, cold winter day. "Prepare the way," says the prophet. "Make his way straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Prepare the way, dear friends. It's road construction time. Now, we're not that far away from Chicago, where there's those two seasons of winter and construction, right? But the road construction's drawn quite near in this past week. We're quite glad you found your way to the sanctuary through a different door today. Since Wednesday, there's been this great team preparing the way, making the way straight, filling and lowering each spot till there's level ground, and all the rough ways will be made smooth out front. It's hard work preparing the way. There's been labor and skill and time poured out, and for that front entranceway that is being prepared, we give thanks. But what a neat image to see this week as we journey with this text of the prophet Isaiah preparing the way. As the prophets call us to repentance and self-examination, to change, could we consider the valleys that need to be filled or the mountains that need to be lowered within ourselves or within our communities? We see there's hard work to do. Yet the way that John the Baptist is proclaiming, this way of the Lord that is being prepared, this is something of a superhighway for God. There are mountains and valleys, but the Lord is preparing this way so that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Today's story in this gospel, according to Luke, began by naming political leaders, setting this in a specific context and world amid the powers of Rome. Consider the way that God was preparing then. Who receives this word of God? The emperor, the governor, the rulers, or religious leaders? No to all of the above. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The superhighway of God that makes an accessible path for all to see the salvation of God comes to John in the wilderness. And I believe that the good news of Jesus just as readily will find each of us. It may not be through some random shouting of God loves you from the front door in the middle of the night, but somehow, some way, the way of the Lord has been prepared, and there's no valley too deep or mountain too high or path too crooked or rough. Jesus' superhighway is made ready, and God will keep finding a way to reach us. For there in the wilderness, the word of God came to John the Baptist. And how promising is it to hear that there is good news in the wilderness? Some of the wilderness experiences in my life, maybe yours too, have been terrifying or isolating. I've felt lost. I've been unable to see where one wilderness begins or ends. And yet, there's more. In wilderness times, there's also a holy silence, an attentiveness to things that might otherwise go unnoticed. And then for John the Baptist, the wilderness is where he has always been. It's not that he was cast out there. It's where his spiritual formation had been taking place his whole life. And it was in the wilderness that he was prepared for this public ministry that he was about to embark on, using his outside voice for everyone to hear this proclamation of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. For the wilderness and all of its isolation and unknown has also for some time been a place of provision. It's that space and time between slavery and salvation where God shows up with manna and reveals abundance. The wilderness is that space and time in the journey of being led from sin to newness of life. The wilderness had shaped John the Baptist for the sharing of the news of Jesus. And maybe our own journeys in wilderness times can somehow stir up within us a new way of knowing the good news of Jesus, of our God who comes to us wherever we are. For you see, even today, in the second year of the presidency of Donald Trump, when Bruce Rauner was governor of Illinois, and Elizabeth Eaton, the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, even today, in our specific and political context, we are reminded that God continues to show up. The way has been prepared. John the Baptist proclaimed this repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and then Jesus appeared, and all shall see the salvation of God. For even today, even when it seems dim and dark, there's this light that shines to remind us of the light of Christ. God can handle all the rolled construction in the world. There's no valley or mountain or rough way that can keep God from finding us, for there's nothing that can separate God's people from the love of God in Christ. Here in these scriptures of old, we find stories of good news for all people. Here we taste and see the goodness of our God, who is made known to us in the forgiveness of sins and the provision of daily bread. And here, too, we'll soon be sent out to share this good news. God loves you, friends. And even if you're not ready to go and shout that from your doorsteps, maybe you'll find some way of sharing God's love. Some way of sharing God's love. And in doing so, maybe you will be the face of God to someone in the midst of their own uncertain wilderness. Who knows? God's good news has been made known in the wilderness before. And I trust it will again. Amen.